call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
Good afternoon, Rochester. Good afternoon, the world. Rich Kicker Jones pushing the buttons. Our first official episode of Word on the Street. We pretty much got delayed this year because of the World Cup. We covered the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, with Michael Lewis live in France. And now we're coming back to items and things that kind of interest me in the Rochester, New York area. Next week, I hope to have on my good friend Sebastian Curatolo. We're going to talk about kidney awareness in people that are looking for donors. So we hope to have Sebastian on next week here on the Word on the Street. And this week we are scheduled to have in the studio the world-famous Austin Giorgio. But Austin had an appearance earlier today, and unfortunately because of the way he looks, he's been delayed. There was 20 women attacked him, and he's bruised right now. Not bad. He'll be fine, we think. But he says he's got a little nosebleed right now and a couple of little issues. So, Richie, what we'll do is we'll go to break first, and then we hope to have Austin Giorgio on as our first guest this year on the Word on the Street. I want to talk about, you know, next week we're going to have kidney awareness. I want to talk about, you know, politics soon, about what I feel about politics in Rochester, New York, and what's going on with politics. And you know, my mayor, the mayor is my favorite mayor of all time. My county executive is my favorite county executive of all time. But there's some other things that kind of affect us in state government that aren't always positive for our community. But we'll talk about that throughout the season here. And then come what, September, Jeff DeVeronica comes back on this time slot with his high school show. Right, Richie? Around September?
Oh, you're right. Well, I mean, school starts then, so high school.
I mean, school starts for most kids. When I went to school, it was all year long. I mean, I was the best summer school student of all time. So I don't know, man. But in September, school kind of starts again.
See, what you knew is going into the next year that you've already taken that year.
Yeah.
So, you know, so
what, like,
you know.
I was like, hey, I could do this again. Yeah, fourth grade. Fourth grade, I was dating my teachers. I was like 18 years old. We'll be back here on Word on the Street in a few minutes, hopefully with Austin Giorgio, with a big news about his music is international now. Yes. What song is this?
When you're walking near the place where we started talking.
This is his new hit. It's worldwide. And it's a hit in a different country. We hope to talk about it. Let me listen to the song.
Do you even really care? Cause I do. I miss you most of all when I don't get any calls past 10. I miss you most of all when we were talking. When we were talking. Now I'm just walking on my own.
Austin Giorgio, you made it back. We didn't even go to break. So what happened? You were at that appearance and those women attacked you. Are you all right? I heard, like, you know, they messed you up, a little bleed, a little nosebleed. You're
destroyed.
All right?
Just you're absolutely right? Destroyed.
So you're all right, though?
I'm good. I survived.
So this has been an amazing week for you. But before we talk about that, let's talk about you as a child growing up. Austin Giorgio, where did you grow up, my friend?
So grew up Rochester, New York, home base forever and always. Dad was a jazz singer. Watched him forever.
Todd Yarden.
The
famous Todd Yarden.
The famous. And just like anything in sports, I became a great watcher and listener. And it wasn't until I got older, I'm like, I want to try singing.
So when you were a kid, did you play sports? What did you do? Like say 15 and under.
I was a bench warmer. So I did. I played soccer and lacrosse. I remember my senior year, I was going to try to play hockey. I asked my doctor. He said, don't do it. So I didn't. But I did play soccer in high school. You know, I was always a decent player.
Mm-hmm.
I was good. I don't know if I was disciplined enough, because to be great at something, you got to really
be focused.
It's almost like it's not work. It's just it's every day. It's fun for you. You do it every day.
So in high school, you played sports. You didn't sing, though. You weren't in the choir. You weren't part of, you know, the daily anthem thing. Nothing like that?
Right. That's the weirdest thing, Sam.
Acting, nothing?
Nothing. Like, in high school, I didn't do any play. I actually stayed away from it.
You were afraid? Was your anxiety, like, shyness? What was it?
Not even that. I was just like, you know, I don't think I'd ever do something like that. Like, because, you know, people in the arts are very dramatic. Like, I'm not really dramatic. I'm not that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so ironic that, like, now I'm in this world of, you know, funny thing, I used to be like, I can't stand people that go on social media all the time. And now I live on it. I've become the biggest hypocrite of my life.
Well, you know, you change as years go on, but I came to your graduation party, your high school graduation party, which you're the first member of all my friends that actually has a child that graduated, so it was kind of cool. But I came to your graduation party, and you went up there, and you sang at your graduation party. You and your dad did a duet, I'm pretty sure,
I can't remember what it was. But yeah, you're right.
So at that point in time, is that when you got the bug a little bit? Like, here you are, you're probably 17 or 18, graduation party, family and friends are there, your dad's singing, you go up and you do a duet with your dad? Is that how, did something click then?
You know what, I really don't think it clicked until 2017. So I graduated in 2014 of high school. So it dabbles. Like, if dad was out throughout the whole year, I'd go out to two of them and I'd sing. Graduation was one of those rare occasions. You know how it is, like, oh, my son's great at soccer. Like, show him what you can do. It's like, man, I don't want to do it. You know, that's how it was. Every now and then I would do it. But then it wasn't.
It's funny, because at my graduation party, my dad said, he's really great at rolling around the mud. So I went out back and I rolled around the mud.
Dad,
buddy,
is this what you mean?
I'll do it, Dad. I'll do it. I'll roll around the mud.
Oh, my God.
You got a visual, didn't you?
That's my boy.
He's a damn good roller.
What's Sam up to?
Sam, show him what you've been practicing.
I'm rolling, Dad.
Oh, my God.
So your dad calls you up. You sing with your dad. But at that point in time, what were your game plans? What were your dreams for after high school? What were your plans, for real?
I wanted to run a business. So I started selling bicycles. Obviously, I was working a part-time job to get some money, need some wealth to invest in bicycles. So I was buying, like, hundreds. I was going to, like, the Costco's and buying them off the floor and reselling them. I always knew I wanted to do something that was, like, entrepreneurial, if that makes sense. I just didn't know what. So I figured I'd try everything. I mean, I'll sell antiques, I'll sell bikes. And then one day I'm like, you know, it's almost like this thing was always there. Like, I know I'm a singer, but I don't really know how good I am. I don't know it. I don't look at it like that. So, like, let me try it. I'll put it on YouTube. It's free. I'll put it on there. Mom, dad, grandma can watch it, you know. So it just worked out. I mean,
so wait, so you did, like, a little thing on YouTube just to kind of get your feet wet. But prior to that, you were selling bicycles. Didn't you invent something for bicycles, too? Like, I remember your dad telling me or showing me something. What was that?
Yeah, so that was a Fender. So I made a Fender. I wanted to know what it was like to patent something and get a trademark, which is expensive, and I did it. Because I wanted to know what it was like. If I ever wanted to do it, I knew I'd do it at some point in my life. So I figured I'll do it now. I got nothing to lose. So I did that.
So you invented a Fender so the mud doesn't hit your butt? Is that kind of thing?
Right, yeah.
So you just buy one, right? Well,
yeah.
Right? Well, in my case, I would need two because I got a trike. but you basically
ride a unicycle.
So you basically invented this Fender, and you sold it nationally, didn't you?
Yeah. So I think I sold one in Canada. Win it, international, but not a lot, but enough for it was cool for a young guy starting something.
But you weren't planning on going to college too, or not?
Oh no, I was going to college. I was going to college, but
where'd you go to college?
So I went to MCC, which I loved MCC, which is anyone that goes to community college, I think is awesome if they want to go there.
Right.
I went there and then went to Geneseo, so I got my business degree.
So you were going to college, and then in the meanwhile, you were buying used bicycles and new bicycles and reselling them on what, eBay or,
Craigslist, and working. So
Craigslist.
Like, it was gone. Like, the free time was gone.
Right.
But again, like, it's like anything. Anyone that loves sports, like, it's just, you enjoy it.
So when you were fixing these bikes up and putting the new Fenders on, were you, like, singing the whole time? Or, like, you catch yourself singing? Like, hey, this is, like, my passion here. Like, I'm trying to figure out where it clicked in your brain that I want to do this singing thing? Because I've had athletes on, and, you know, I do a soccer show. I've done it for 25 years. And usually they can almost tell me the point where it hit them where I want to do this for a living. I scored a goal. I was 8 years old. I went to the flag, and I celebrated, and I realized this is what I want to do. Or I went to a game, and I saw a player score a goal, and I want to do that for my career. When did it click to you? I want you to think about this. We're going to go to break right now. When we come back, I want to know, when was that moment that you knew, this is what I want to do? I want to be a singer. I want to know when that moment was. Let's go to break right now, Rich Kicker.
I don't get any calls past 10. I miss you most of all. When we were talking, when we were talking. Now I'm just a walking on my own, my own.
Cooch, cooch. It's me, Soccer Sam for Salvatore's Pizza. We buy all our products locally from Palmer's Foods. Our locations are spotless clean and owner-operated. Remember, we deliver everything but babies. Salvatore's.com.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
Rejuvenate, restore, refresh, and heal. At Fantuzzo Acupuncture, we seek to help achieve effective health and wellness in an elegant spa-like atmosphere. Fantuzzo Acupuncture specializes in traditional acupuncture, cosmetic anti-aging acupuncture, acupressure, cupping, CBD topical creams, and more. Approach healthcare holistically. Visit FantuzzoAcupuncture.com to book online today. FantuzzoAcupuncture.com.
For today's hottest eyewear, Rochester only has one real option, Welpley & Paul. After 95-plus years, they can match the service of the past with the value on the brands you love today. Visit them at WelpleyAndPaul.com for your nearest location.
The Red Wings, the Indians. Pregame begins tonight at 6:45 on Rochester's number one and most listened to sports station, Fox Sports 1280.
I think I know what I'll be missing. The summer night memories. But when we're older, will you hold me like you did at 23?
I know what I'm missing. A high school diploma. But we're back. It's the word on the street here on Fox Sports 1280 worldwide on your iHeartRadio app. Austin Giorgio in the studio. We're going to talk about how one of your new songs is going viral all over the world, including another country. We're going to talk about that. But first, a lot of people are wondering, like I am, when did that special thing click you where you're in high school, you weren't part of any plays, you weren't in the music class, you didn't sing, you weren't one of those kids that was into all that, and you got into a bicycle business, you invented a fender for bicycles, right. You were going to MCC, then you went to Geneseo, you wanted to be a businessman. When was that moment that you said, you know what, I want to become a singer?
So I think the actual moment was definitely January of 2017 with the company Bike Life, the bicycle company, and just antiques.
That's the name of it, Bike Life?
Bike Life, that was the name of it. Wow, when I was running it. And, you know, I would try to pump out all this stuff on all these platforms, YouTube, Instagram, you know, everything would always, it was a struggle to push it out. I'd have to spend a lot of money to get it out. And the moment I posted my first singing video ever, it got a lot of views. And I'm like,
the test one you did.
Right, just a cover video for like, not even, it wasn't even a full song, it was like a minute. I always listened to Michael Bublé when I was working on bikes, so naturally, like anyone, that's who I just was accustomed to, him and Frank Sinatra. So I think it was that moment when I was like, wow, I put no effort into this, and this thing just took off.
Like, so you were selling bicycles online and stuff, and you were getting like, you know, not a lot of reaction, is that what you're saying? But then when you put your music video up there, you got thousands of people that watched it or saw it, listened to it?
Yeah, so when I sold bicycles, that was not hard because it's a basic commodity. Everyone needs a bike. Yeah. But when you try to make your own business and try to pitch your new product, things that no one's seen in the world, it was taking a lot of effort, and I would try things, and I'd get shut down. That was fine. I always kept going. It just blew my mind the moment I posted, for someone that didn't like social media, the moment I posted a singing video, it was like, wow. People, like, this just went crazy. I didn't have to do really anything.
So what was that song? What was that first song you posted?
It was, You Don't Know Me.
Let me hear it. Let me hear you sing it. Can you do it?
Yeah, it's, you give your hand to me, and then you say goodbye. Something like that, but.
Wait, I like to do the next line. I like that line.
I got to think about it. You give your hand to me. Na 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 na. I can't remember.
Can't remember. So, but that was the first one you did, and then you got the bug. And then when did you go from there to start singing at local restaurants and stuff? Because I remember seeing you at La Bella Vita on Wednesday nights. That was like one of our pit stops. We'd come in and see you sing and listen to you sing.
Yeah. So that it all happened by fluke. So I would I posted I believe 5 videos on YouTube, and at 12 o'clock in the morning, the first person ever. Was a Cherie. She owns a salon. She goes, "Hey, I saw your videos online. I'd love to hire you to come sing for my salon opening." I'm like, "Well, I have no gear. I don't even know what I'm doing." So I went on YouTube, downloaded. I'm like, "Yeah, I could do it." downloaded every karaoke track song I know, borrowed my dad's amplifier, and literally the next day, I got another message from a bar down here, which this is how I met my manager. He was helping his friends that own a lot of, you know, establishments downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Hey, we're looking for someone like yourself to sing. You know, would you come sing on the corner of East and Alexander?" I'm like, "Sure, yeah." Again, no idea what I'm doing. Just the karaoke tracks even had the singer in the background, like, "You give your head." So I had to sing loud enough to get over that voice. So that's how it started. Was I believe it was April? I got my first gig ever, April 1st, and no joke. No pun intended, but like
so you put this thing online, and all of a sudden this lady calls you for a grand opening of her salon.
Yeah,
and then you showed up and did that.
Showed up, did that, the bow tie, suspenders, everything. Showed up exactly what I knew what worked. I knew people liked that look. I knew people liked the song because I did.
Right.
So I'm like, I can't be the only one.
But it's unusual for a kid as young as you to like that era of music. A lot of kids like your age are listening to rap and you know, top 40 hits. I mean, so why were you so into the whole Frank Sinatra, Bublé music?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to two things, and that's the reason why I'm actually singing now and not in the music business, which I will do down the road. But the reason why I did that was, A, it was in my roots, so that's just is what it is. But secondly, the reason why I stuck with it, and honestly, Sam, I just don't like a lot of the messages in popular music. It's not even that I'm like a stickler, like I don't like rap, because there are songs I like. It's just I feel like there's a loss of respect, and I think there's such a great trend on poor publicity of people, like just not dressing well. So for me, it was more like my own selfishness, like I'm not going to degrade myself to listen to this music.
Right.
So I'm like, I'll just listen to the best music I know, old jazz, Motown, you know. And that's something I learned too, is like Barry Gordy, I believe, who owned Motown, he'd take all his artists and put them in like his own little university, per se, to say, "Hey, this is how you act on TV. This is how you dress."
Yeah, he brought Diana Ross to his university, and he showed her a couple of things. But then I think they had a kid 9 months later. But
I'm going to show you.
Hey, Barry.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm your daddy. but so you decided that that's why you went with that theme of music. So now this lady calls you. You go get your dad's amp. You like you show up. You sing. So how nervous were you at the first ever gig where there's people that are listening?
So, you know what? I wasn't so nervous about the singing, and I'll tell you why. When I was younger, I was petrified of public speaking because I was super insecure. I was always the cute kid, the short kid, the kid with the high voice in high school.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, okay, I can either struggle as a freshman, sophomore, and just be very nervous, or I can just volunteer every time and try to always give my speech first in class and always do it just to face my fear. So through high school, I conquered the fear of being in front of people. I was more nervous that my karaoke track would stop or my computer would crash. And that happened many times. Wow. My speaker would just break. I was like, "Well, folks, hope you enjoyed the 10-minute set."
So that first one you did, you weren't afraid because of what you just said. You kind of conquered that years ago. And then when was the next big gig? Was it the downtown thing in front of, you know, the corner of Main and, or not Main, Alexander and East?
East and Alexander, yeah. So for people that don't know the Rochester area, that's a very, like, uppity spot. A lot of movement there.
It's kind of like New York City. They're trying to create that New York City feel where there's singers on the street and all that. So you're one of those guys.
Yeah. I caused almost a lot of accidents singing to people. But I think the biggest thing that got me, besides that, because those gigs started spawning. Then I went to La Bella Vita, Panavino. Those were all great. You know, I think the first moment that I was like, whoa, this is something different is when M&T Bank said, we want you to come down for our corporate sales party once a year. And it was a massive gig for a young dude like me that's just singing karaoke tracks. So I looked at myself in the mirror, I'm like, all right, this is going to be a big show for me. I got to really step it up. And it turned out to be a phenomenal place. It was down in the Poconos. And I remember I stayed overnight and I drove back at 3 a.m. to take a test at Geneseo. The next morning, which I don't think I did well on. But it doesn't matter because I graduated.
You did graduate
but
from GSU.
But the M&T Bank thing was unbelievable. Like, that, you know?
So M&T was the first big gig, but you did graduate because that's the thing. When you got into this music business, you were kind of confused about quitting college, doing music, but you promised your parents you'd graduate. Did you end up graduating?
Right. Yeah, no, I did. Thank God.
You're not just saying that.
No, I swear to God.
You really graduated.
I graduated. I got a 4-year degree in business administration.
Nice. So you got the degree under your belt. You're singing. So the M&T thing's big. The bow tie and that whole look, you know, did you continue that look when you were doing all these smaller gigs at the time?
Yeah. So back then, definitely. Like the bow tie, the suspenders, the couch, just because that's all I knew. And honestly, I just loved that music. I love the Frank Sinatra, the Ella Fitzgeralds, like the classiness of it. So for me, it just made sense. Like one and two, this is simple. This kind of music, this kind of dress, boom, we got a party. So now it's exciting for me on this level because now I consider myself an artist, whereas back then I was just a singer, just doing stuff, you know, just moving around. Whereas now it's like, okay, I can be a role model to some of these kids. And now I'm that young guy that these kids are looking up to and I can have a positive influence. So now it's not time to echo the past and sing Fly Me to the Moon the same way it's been sung for 60 years or 50 years. But if I'm going to sing that, it's got to sound like 2019. And these kids don't even have to recognize the song.
Right.
And let alone I do a lot of singles like the song Walkin'. But I think now it's at a fun point of I'm creating a new bow tie. It's a fresh new look.
That I love your story. I love your drive, man. You're inspiring. You're just a young kid. You got your mindset on things. Before I ask you about how the whole voice situation happened, I want to talk about these different gigs you did throughout Rochester, New York. You know, like you mentioned some places that you did, the Bella Vita and Panavino. I mean, what were some of the cool things that happened on those events? I mean, other than I'm sure you got a lot of phone numbers, but what other event, anything like mishaps, like, man, this is a tough business. Like this, like you mentioned the mic going down or the speaker going down, but anything like major happened on this tour of yours?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest, and stress-wise, I think the biggest stress for me was I would work from 8, like 9 to 5. I'd work 9 to 5, and then from 5, the moment I got out, I'd leave, go to the restaurant, and not get home until like 10 or 11. So I would do that every other day, so that was pretty demanding, like a lot of work.
But work meaning you worked a job too? Or do you
worked
mean,
a job,
so
yeah.
You worked a full-time job. Where did you work full-time?
So I worked at Constellation Brands, which was an big alcohol beverage. People that don't know, they own like Corona, Modelo. A lot of wines. So I did that by day, and then by night, I would sing.
But when did you do school throughout that?
That was during the school year. I would be part-time there. So then I'd go to school during the day, leave Geneseo or MCC, go there, and then after that, I'd go to sing. So I was doing like 3 things in a day.
Wow. So you do college, you know, part-time, or I'm sorry, college, right. Then part-time at Constellation Brands, right. Then go home, change, take a shower, put on your look, and go sing at
not
one of
even.
These clubs.
I would change in the bathroom every time.
Really?
Yeah, I would just change. But Constellation became full-time once school ended.
Got
so
it.
Then I just, it really, the time just got sucked back up with that.
So you go to these clubs, right? You go to these clubs, and tell me some of the things that happen to these clubs.
Can I tell you, I've had some of the most interesting comments that, you know, that blew my mind that women would tell me that I wouldn't expect. So some funny things would happen. One time I had this woman. I'm not going to swear in the story. It's not bad, but you know, it's kind of funny. So I had this woman one time that was probably in her 80s or like just there.
Pushing 80.
Yeah, pushing 80. And you know, she's coming up to me.
Those are the women that find me hot.
Sam, wait to hear this story. So,
hey,
how you doing?
He's breathing still.
How are you? So, she walks up to me, and I'm thinking she's gonna say what everyone else says. oh, sweetheart, I love that you're singing this music. You know, I love this stuff. It's not what she says. She comes up to me. She looks me from my shoes up to me, and she gets real close, leans in. She goes, you know, I made love with a man that looked like you. Oh, bagged her walker up and left. I think all I said was, thank you, sweetheart. I get off of work at 10.
Oh, man. So the 80-plus with her walker kind of feeling.
Like that was the fun things that would happen, things like that. That was funny for me, you know? But
that's cool. I mean, yeah. But you had events like that, and you're singing at clubs. 10 o'clock, you're ready to go home, thinking, I got to get up tomorrow morning to go to work. Somebody, hey, okay, you know, give me two more songs, you know, like, so you sit there, like, till 11 o'clock, and then you're obviously going to have a drink, you're going to have dinner now, because you probably didn't have dinner, because you went from work to right. sing, so straight you'd have dinner it. 9, 10 o'clock at night, yep. And you did that for how long?
Oh, I did that from April 2017 to The Voice, and that was, that went all the way up to January 2018, so I did it for almost a full year.
Almost a full year, just getting your feet wet, performing in front of people, your look, your feel. So we come back. I want to find out how the whole Voice thing happened, where the episodes of The Voice that you were on are some of the highest rated programs of The Voices have ever had. So some say it's coincidental, but I think it's because of you that The Voice's ratings were so high during that period. We come back. I want to find out how the whole Voice thing happened. And then later on, I want to talk about your worldwide, your songs going worldwide.
Nice, yeah.
It's pretty big.
We'll see you soon.
You yeah. give your hand to me, and then you say hello. But I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well. But you don't know me.
It's back. Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. Salvatore's.com.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's. 900 Jefferson Road.
Rejuvenate, restore, refresh, and heal. At Fantuzzo Acupuncture, we seek to help achieve effective health and wellness in an elegant spa-like atmosphere. Fantuzzo Acupuncture specializes in traditional acupuncture, cosmetic anti-aging acupuncture, acupressure, cupping, CBD topical creams, and more. Approach healthcare holistically. Visit FantuzzoAcupuncture.com to book online today. FantuzzoAcupuncture.com.
Hi, this is Rich Ide, and it's back. The Ides March is here at Ide Volkswagen. So come visit us in East Rochester and get a great car for a great deal. We make car buying easy and fun at Ide Volkswagen. We'd love to earn your business.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Drive home and talk sports with a Rochester guy. I'm Carl Falk. Listen to me Monday 3 till 6 on the one and only Fox Sports 1280, Rochester.
Sunset skies drive the normal away for a little.
His name is Austin Giorgio. His music is probably the best music I've ever heard. This is you, the music and everything, right? You produce everything. All the stuff. Yeah. It's not like you got some, you do it all.
Right.
And you learn on the fly. You didn't go to school for this.
Right.
You didn't go to any formal training.
Yep.
So The Voice, the nationally famous show, The Voice, the highest rated show at the time when you were on it. How did The Voice happen? How does a kid that never did high school singing, never was in plays, just started doing clubs for 7-8 months, how do you go from that to being on The Voice?
So one night I was folding clothes with my mom, and she goes, and the commercial came on for The Voice, and she goes, Georgie, you should go try out for that show. You should go. It's in Philly. You've never been to a big city. And here I am folding a T-shirt thinking, you know what? You're right. I should go down to Philly. And it's so funny to think. It's not even that I didn't think I had a chance or anything like that. It's just like I'm not even going down there for that. I want to go down to Philly. I want to run up the stairs to see Rocky. I want to say don't talk too much. Get a Philly cheesesteak. That's what I was excited for. But it was like a couple months out.
Were you a voice? Did you watch The Voice prior to that? Were you like a, you know, one of those groupies that watched it every week?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't.
You never watched it?
No. Well, I watched American Idol.
I never watched it till you were on. I never even know it was on. I never heard of it.
I knew of it. I didn't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
You know? Which is funny because now I've had like American Idol, America's Got Talent. They all want me to go back on the shows. But I'm like, at this point, I kind of have my fan base. And it's like, I want to make my music at this point. You know? But anyways, back on The Voice, so I drive down there, and I wait in line, and Sam, there's 50,000 people that auditioned for this thing. So I'm sitting in line, no expectations, holding a box of Cheerios, eating, and just talking to all these people. You know, I'm classically trained. I went to this school. I'm like, wow. I'm thinking, I got no shot, so let's have fun. So I'm eating that. I'm eating a Philly cheesesteak in this line. While we're waiting, people are drinking like all these crazy things to get ready, and I look like an idiot, just not preparing.
You eating a box of Cheerios? Is that what you said?
I swear to God, box of Cheerios, because I was hungry, and that's all I had in the hotel room. I'm like, I got to eat breakfast.
Right.
So everyone's getting ready. You know, they're eating these lozenges or whatever. It's just funny looking back, because I was just so not.
You didn't think anything was going
to
happen.
It was just, I'm going to go in. I'll say, hey, I got to go on The Voice. This was cool. It was fun. I'm going to go back to gigging.
So you're waiting in these long lines. You're talking to all these people. Now, give me the feel of the room when you walk into audition. How does that all work?
It is the equivalent to walking into like a Chicago airport, but slightly more organized. Meaning you get in this line that lines up around the building for blocks.
Right.
And the moment you get into the building, it's just a cluster. Just everyone is there. Just when you think it's done, it's not done. It's a whole nother line. And it took probably about an hour, 2 hours to get in to the point where I could at least, like, sign my name, say I'm here. And then you sit for a while. And then they bring you into a room, have you sing in front of 10 people. Like, they pull you up. They put you in a room of 10 people, and they say, all right, Austin Giorgio, step up. You sing your, like, 10 seconds of your song, you sit down. And it's funny because the moment I finished my song, I'm like, wow, this was fun. I was already thinking about where I was going to go to eat next. So I walked out of the room. Like when they said, all right, thank you guys for coming. We just want Austin Giorgio back. Again, I didn't always go by Austin Giorgio, my middle name.
Right.
So I walked out of the room. They said, Austin, they yelled, Austin. I'm like, yep. They said, are you going to come sing another song? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So I walked back in with my Cheerios and honey. And I'm like, what do you want to hear? I didn't even prepare a second song because I didn't even expect anything.
What was the first song you sang? What was your audition song that you decided to use? And did you have your bow tie on, your whole look, or not?
No, the look wasn't even there. I think it was maybe dress pants and a collared shirt. Like I was ready to go golfing or something.
Right. And what was the song?
The song I auditioned with was, and you know, you audition with a lot, but the first one was, oh my God, what was that song? Well, the second song I remember was Save the Last Dance. Oh my God, I can't remember the first
song. So the first song was Save the Last Dance?
The second song.
When they
was,
called you back.
She told me, sing Save the Last Dance. I'm like, okay, I'll sing that song.
So you knew it?
I knew it, yeah. She goes, do you know Michael Bublé songs? I'm like, oh yeah, just name one. She goes, all right, sing this one. I'm like, all right, I'll sing it. But the first song I did audition with is on YouTube, I believe. But I can't remember now.
It's okay. It's all right.
Sam, I got the worst.
Well, the girls attacked you today. I mean, you might have a little slight concussion.
I mean, it's not good. I'm not good with this kind of stuff.
No, I'm sorry. So basically, they call you back. They say, Austin Giorgio, come back. You're like, wait a minute. Who's Austin Giorgio? Because at the time, you're using a different name. This is your stage name. So you come back. You sing Last Dance, was it?
Sing Save the Last Dance, yep.
Sing it. How you sing?
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight. That was the song.
You can dance.
Slur the words. But yeah. So that was the first step of like 5,000 to come, which I had no idea.
So it continues the tryouts.
Oh yeah, and you're bringing back some memories. So that day they give you their card, like the Hollywood card, pretty much saying, hey, you're going on the next step. And remember, I don't know what this means. It just says you might get a call from a producer. So I'm already scheduled to go back to work the next morning. They call me and an hour later say, hey, we need you at Milk Boy Studios in Philly tomorrow morning at 7. I'm thinking, oh my God, I got work tomorrow. How am I going to get out of this? So I call my work quickly. They're like, don't worry about it. You do what you got to do. Again, I can't tell anybody what I'm down there for because you'll get in a serious trouble. And there's right. like money.
You got to sign all these releases and stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all confidential.
You think you're going to be like buried like a witch if you tell anybody. So I didn't tell anybody. So I told them I need one more day down here. You know, this is definitely singing related. It's pretty big, but you know, can you flex me? And thank God they did. Got another hotel room, and I went to the studio that Michael Jackson recorded at, which was cool. Again, for someone that's just starting in the music world, I'm thinking, wow, what a privilege.
Right.
You know, like I didn't just earn this. This is like privilege to be here. Right. You know, there's some people that like sing forever and they don't even get to be in here.
Right.
So for me, I was just soaking it in, like, wow, this is great.
So then you had to sing more songs in front of different people.
Yep.
When does the whole look come in? Do they ask you what your look and your feel is going to be, or you create that, or they say, hey, we want you to go with this look and feel?
Yeah, so I definitely created the look and feel for the show. You definitely walk a fine line. I think when I got on the show, I was kind of just like, I'm just going to replicate what I do at the gigs, just a little bit bigger. You know, I'll learn from my mentors, Frank, Michael. It wasn't until halfway through the show that it started to make sense to me, that like things started to come up, and I was like, for instance, I ran into people backstage that like are vocal coaches for massive artists, and I would talk to them, and people were giving me advice, things I never heard, because I'm so fresh to this. Like, for me, it was like, man, I can only make so many mistakes. I like, everything's coming so quick. And it wasn't until halfway through the show, I'm like, oh my God, I get it now. Like, this is my roots, and I got to take this and make something new of it. And that's where they wanted me to sing a pop song towards the end of it, and I'm like, that's fine. I actually like Justin Bieber, for as many people that don't. I'm like, I'll sing one of his songs. And I knew at that moment that was my time to, okay, now it's time to become Austin Giorgio, like who I really am. So it was fun. You know, when I started, I had that classy look. And moving forward, I still have that classy look. It's just, it's new. Right.
So you had to go through a bunch of different auditions. Finally, you know you're going to be on The Voice, but there's no guarantee that a judge is going to turn around and,
right.
and whatever they do and pick you, right?
Right. Or even get on show, Sam.
Right. So you could go through all this. They tape it, but then they might cut you out of the show if they feel
Even if you get a chance.
Right.
Meaning the week before, we're in a room, and they say, okay, everyone, there's a room full of 100 people. They say, we're going to call your name, and that's your number. So they go through the list, you know, Frank Johnson, 1, Jimmy Johnson, 2, and then I was number 7. And I didn't know what that meant, but at the time I figured out what these numbers meant. It meant your order in the show. So if you're, you know, contestant number 1 per se, you're going to be the first audition ever for that season.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2, then 3, then 4. So what that means is if you're contestant number 50, you are the last chance technically if everyone gets a yes, because is it 50 or 48? Because then the team fills up.
Right.
Gibson, so if you're a contestant 68, you might not even get a chance to be on. You might not even get a chance to audition because the team's
7. You're up there. You're close.
I'm right up front. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going first. I was literally the first day. I think I was the fourth person.
So now, when you come on stage and you sing in front of these judges, have the kids on the show met your judges yet, or is that like the first time?
It's the first time.
So you don't get to see them. You don't get to hang with them.
Nope.
And Blake and the girl there that used to be on American Idol,
Kelly.
Yep. You don't get to hang or see them. It's just like you go on. Your parents are in the backstage, they're watching you, and they're all excited for you, and you just come on the stage, and behind those chairs are these people that you're hoping turn around.
Right.
And you, what was the song you sang on the show? Do you remember that one?
Yes, that was Marvin Gaye's How Sweet It Is. And that's what a lot of my shows I like to open it with, just because that's where it's, for me now, that's where it started.
Right.
For me.
So you sing How Sweet It Is, and then all of a sudden, bing.
Yeah, but you don't hear it. You don't hear anything, Sam.
You don't hear it.
It's completely quiet.
They do that later on. They add the sound and all that when they're recording, when they're putting the show together, editing. So Blake turns around,
yep.
Who's more of a country guy.
Yep.
Do you say to yourself, well, what am I going to do with this guy here? What am I going to do? Like, hee-haw? What am I going to do with this country music?
Well, you know, I didn't expect anyone to turn around. My intentions to go on that show were, I wouldn't even say it like this, but like just like in someone in a soccer game, someone like streaks or something like that. Like they just want to have fun or
right.
something. I'm thinking every time I see these shows, and this is not an attack on any artist because now I can understand it. But I'm like, everyone gets so emotional when they sing, and everyone's like so, like, I just want to have fun on this thing.
Right.
Like every time I get in there, it's always a sad story. It's always something like
yeah.
that. And
my father threw me out of the church, and now I'm singing. You know, like, they do that.
It's Sam. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a sad story. I come from a great background. My family's super supportive.
Yeah, they were on the show. I saw your dad, your mom. I mean, you great. There's like you didn't have like a sad story to go along with it. Like a lot of these kids do. Like, we're homeless. We lived in the car for 3 years, and you know, like all that. Yeah, I've seen that.
I'm fortunate to have this. So for me, it was like I'm gonna go on the stage. I'm gonna go crazy. I want to dance. I don't even care about the singing. I want to be a performer first. I'll figure the singing out. And that's why if you watch it back, like I'm just going nuts on that stage, just dancing, wiggling. I don't even know what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah. But that was part of nerves, too. I'm sure part of it was your adrenaline.
Adrenaline. Yeah. I wasn't nervous necessarily to sing. It was just the excitement. I was so excited.
Bing. Blake turns around. What happens then?
Bing turns around, and I think I literally say Blakey because the song goes, "Thank you, baby." And I said, "Thank you, Blakey," because at that moment, I connect. I'm like, oh, my God, he freaking turned around.
Yeah.
And that's who I want. If I could get on the show, I would want to work with Blake just because I knew he had an appreciation for Dean Martin. And I'm thinking, this guy will let me sing my roots. He'll let me show who I really am. Because every time you go on the show, you know, they want a singer to sing this and that and this and that. And that's to create a pop star. And I wasn't looking at myself like that. It's like
at the time. But
I just like this.
But near the end, I mean, Richie's going to look up that song. So at the end, they made you do a Justin Bieber song. What is that song?
Love Yourself.
Love Yourself.
Written by Ed Sheeran, performed by...
All right, that
Justin
song,
Bieber.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
It's a pretty song.
Yeah, I want to hear that song. I love that song. So they made you do that song.
Yep.
And then you found out, like, what your team didn't win. How's that all work?
Yeah, so no, we did... That was the live rounds. I went two rounds in the live rounds, and then that's when they just start to vote in. They get down to the top four, top three, top two, you know. They get down to that. So for that was the first time I ever sang a new song, ever. Because all the songs I would sing at gigs
were old ones.
The newest song was from like the 70s.
Right.
Like.
So you had to do the new song, the Justin Bieber song. You did that, and it's available. Like it's out there. I saw it online.
Yeah. People can stream it if they want, or get on YouTube and pirate it, whatever you want to do. You know.
So after The Voice, do you get in contact with them? You did your voice tour thing that you kind of produced yourself in Rochester. You sold out at Jiva Theater. You went to other cities selling out. But it was your little baby. But were they behind this? Did they help at all? Like, how does it work?
So it wasn't with the show. We contacted the show for, like, again, here's the business side kicking in of just, like, licensing and, you know, what's the legalities that go into it. And we're still moving forward with it, especially in the fall with the new season. We'll definitely be, like, reaching out to these new contestants. Because I've got my own stuff I got to focus on, like, as an artist. Like, there's a lot going on. So, for me, it was like, you know, after the show, it was kind of like everyone just kind of get dropped off a cliff. Because it's not a bad thing. Like, it's just, you get so much. And then
sink or swim.
Yeah, it's just so much.
They don't really help you. It's like, sink or swim.
It's artificial. It's artificial. They're pumping a lot of money because they know you're marketable. And the moment you're off the show, you don't have that money to back you anymore. So, it's like, you got to figure out now how to get engagement, how to reach out, how to get shows, how to even put on a concert if you've never done it. So for me, I was like, well, I've figured things out before. I'm going to figure it out again.
So you hired Mike as your manager. You met Mike prior to that, when that gig on East Avenue, right? So Mike becomes your manager.
After the show.
After the
because
show.
Because it just got crazy. I was stressing out. Like,
everybody wanted,
because
you got all this, you were on the highest rated show in the country, including in Rochester. So everybody wanted you to perform in some capacity, events, Camp Good Days. I mean, you've been everywhere.
Right.
So Mike becomes your manager, does a great job. And then how do you meet Tony Napoli and company?
So Tony is a mutual friend, and I know Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
How you been?
Tony.
And Tony's a great guy.
I love Tony.
And, you know,
Catania.
Tony's a promoter. That's what he does. For people that don't know the music world, that's what he promotes, concerts. And he believes an artist, says, hey, we're going to put on a show for you, and we're going to try to get people here to come see you. And that's what Tony's did. He said, let's do something in February. Let's do a show. Let's see how it goes, and we'll keep going. And since then, it's been successful. We've been doing more shows. We got
all over the country.
Yeah, and we're going to be here in Rochester. We got two shows in Rochester, one October 4th with Sal Valentinetti. I'm just like special guest welcome into the city. And then my own show December 14th, which will be a huge Christmas gala at the Lyric, which will be really –
Is he going to be where?
I'm super excited. The Lyric Theater downtown on East Avenue.
Okay.
So that will be I'm really excited for
so
that.
If people want to find out where you're performing and what you're doing, what's your website? How do they find out?
So it's austingiorgio.com, and we've got like 25 shows all over the country. So like whoever someone's listening, I know this show probably has a lot of Rochester, but probably some online people too. We're going to be everywhere. Like next week will be Niagara Falls, which is close, but then Salt Lake, then LA, Vegas. Like there's a lot of dates.
Awesome.
So it's cool.
So we come back, we're gonna find out about this song. We're gonna come back with that song, which is a huge hit in another country. We'll come back. His name is Austin Giorgio. He's a Rochester superstar, but coming to you soon nationally throughout the country and the world. His music is special. He's special. I think he could be an actor. If they come out with a new Sopranos series, he has that look and feel of an old school mobster, I think. Whoa! Back here on Word, it's the Word on the Street. Fox Sports 1280, iHeartRadio Worldwide.
Did you ever wonder where restaurants get those amazing tasting steaks? The answer is Palmer Food Service. When you go to the Palmer Direct to You store at the regional market, you get restaurant quality at wholesale prices. Now, you may not have the same talents as a chef in those great independent restaurants we all know and love, but you can start with the same great quality and value, steaks, seafood, and poultry. If you want to feed your family better for less every day, come to Palmer's, 900 Jefferson Road.
Rejuvenate, restore, refresh, and heal. At Fantuzzo Acupuncture, we seek to help achieve effective health and wellness in an elegant spa-like atmosphere. Fantuzzo Acupuncture specializes in traditional acupuncture, cosmetic anti-aging acupuncture, acupressure, cupping, CBD topical creams, and more. Approach healthcare holistically. Visit FantuzzoAcupuncture.com to book online today. FantuzzoAcupuncture.com.
Hi, this is Dan Delight from Donuts Delight, Rochester's finest donut. Try our new 20-pack of donuts for only $20. Donuts Delight is open every day at 6 a.m. for breakfast. Now we deliver donuts and logo donuts. Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver, Rochester's finest donut.
Monday morning, there's no better way to begin your sports week than with Clay Travis. It's Outkick the Coverage. Monday morning, 6 till 9 on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, all the clubs you get and using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake.
His name is Austin Giorgio. This is the pop song they wanted him to do on The Voice, and you nailed it, man. You nailed it.
Hey, Sam.
I love the song.
It's pretty.
Pretty song. So you're traveling around the country with Tony Napoli and company. Mike's your manager, traveling around the country, and then you come up with this song. And we're going to play the complete version of the song next. But this song right now is a hit worldwide. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the song's called Walkin'.
Walkin'?
Yep, it's called Walkin', and it is the first song that I consider myself, it's my sound, meaning it's a blending of pop music of today and like what I love in smooth jazz, which you'll hear in the chorus. And the song is just, it took off in Asia literally 3 days after it released.
So why Asia?
So there's a platform called TikTok, which is like a new Instagram.
Well, I eat them all the time.
And for some unknown reason, the song that went on there, it went viral. And now there's 1,500 videos of kids, people lip-syncing it, walking to it, walking their cats, like some crazy stuff, some dances. It's pretty neat. And over millions of streams. So
Do you find these? How do you find these videos?
You know, I can link it, or we could put it up somewhere for people if they want to watch them. It's kind of entertaining to watch.
Could we go to your website, austingiorgio.com, and find any of them yet?
They're not there. You can Google it. You can just Google Austin Giorgio walking, and it's like the third link down.
But bang. Austin Giorgio walking, go to the link, do it. So, Richie, I want to go. This is the world premiere on this show, Word on the Street, of the Austin Giorgio hit song worldwide called Walking.
Yep.
And we're going to hope that radio stations in Rochester start playing the song a lot, because I think it's a hit. I think Kiss 106.7, which is my favorite station here in Rochester, music station, starts playing the song. And here we go. Rich Kicker Jones going to push the buttons, and here it is. Austin Giorgio, Walking.
When you're walking near the place where we started talking, do you ever stop, and how often, to think of our memories there? Do you even really care? 'Cause I do. I miss you most of all when I don't get any calls past 10.
Soundtrack and everything, right? Everything. All by himself. The picture, the cover. So, if people want to download this song or buy it, how do you do it?
So, they can go to AustinGiorgio.com, G-I-O-R-G-I-O. So, AustinGiorgio.com, and they can get the CD if they prefer it, or they can go on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora. It's everywhere. iHeartRadio. It's on everything.
So, Walking. So, the number one song on this CD you gave me today that you signed... thank you, Sam, Austin, Giorgio. I'm going to save this forever when you're a big-time celebrity and I need a ticket to get into one of your concerts. Walking is the number one. Number two is Te Amo.
Yep.
Is that Te Amo, Te Amo? That one?
No.
It's a different one? What about number three is Fly Me to the Moon?
You got it, yep.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's fine, but it doesn't sound like that.
You changed a little bit.
Yep.
And then Vienna is number four. I never heard. Is that Vienna Sausage? Or?
No, that's you know Billy Joel's song, Vienna? Slow down, you crazy child. It's an old song.
That one. All right, then number five is Sunday.
Sunday, it's a chill song.
Is that a remake too?
It's original.
So you wrote Sunday?
Yeah.
So yep. give me a little verse of Sunday.
Sunday is, I can lay here all day staring at your face.
What I like it. Music? That's our close, baby. That's my cue to shut up, right? Right, Reggie? Are you trying to get me to? We got to go out of. We got to go. The Ocean Sky is number six. There it is. That's the close of the show.
That was it.
The kick. This close. Ocean Sky is the final song of the CD. His name's Austin Giorgio. AustinGiorgio.com. Anywhere people can see you soon.
Yes, go on there and you can see all the dates.
All the dates are on your AustinGiorgio.com. I'm Soccer Sam. You're not. He's Austin Giorgio. Rich Kicker Jones pushing the buttons. It's the word. Word on the street. Next week, we'll be back here same time, noon Eastern on iHeartRadio. Have yourself a great week, and thank you so much for listening to Austin Giorgio.
Thanks for having me.
Abby, you know, a lot of folks are preparing their summer reading list. May I suggest...